missions. Okay. Well, if your answer is, well, mission conference is just a time that we come together to listen to the missionary, sharing their story, sharing their update their ministry work, then we give our offering to support them to preach the gospel so that people will be saved. If this is your answer, then I am sorry to tell you that you are 50% correct, 50% not correct. Is it? According to the word of God, the true biblical answer is mission is the plans of God to send someone to spreading the gospel, the good news of God, far and near, so that all might come to know Him and make Him known. Not just people come and say to be saved and go heaven. Is it? If the end result of the first answer, people come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and can go heaven only. It's very man-centered. Just come and listen and then can go heaven. It's very man-centered. Men enjoy all the so-called the result, go heaven. But the biblical, so-called biblical answer, biblical point of view, is God-centered. You look carefully here, you say, it's to fulfill God's purpose. Is it here? You say, mission is the plans of God to send someone out, yes, to preach the gospel, to spread the gospel of God far and near, so that all might come to know Him, to be saved and make Him known. And to make Him known. Not only to be saved and go heaven, but to make Him known, to glorify God. Is it? Therefore, you can see that to know God, to know Him is salvation. But to make Him known is discipleship, is worship, is glorifying God. So it is a God-centered. The end result is God-centered. It's not man-centered. It's just the benefit is just not man that all of us can go heaven and enjoy ourselves. The whole process of missions is started by God. It is God-centered. So that at the end result, in the sense, at the end of whole thing, God will be glorified. Not only we men can go heaven, but God will be glorified. Three times in Ephesians chapter 1, tell us that we are saved to the praise of God's glory. Is it? We are saved to the praise of God's glory. We are sanctified in our Christian walk with God right now to the praise of God's glory. And when our journey on earth over, we are glorified for the praise of God's glory too. Is it? Whether we are saved, whether we walk with our Christian walk right now, or whether when we are going back to heaven, it's all for the praise of God's glory. So as I say, if you have the so-called, if your answer is just the first answer, man will be saved, go heaven, that's all. It's a bit shallow. It's a very man-centered. We need to put it in our mind. It's that missions, not only sending out missionary, not only preach the gospel, but that the ultimate result will be God will be glorified. God will be glorified. The Bible clearly teaches that our living God has a plan and purpose for mankind. And His plan will not fail, but will certainly be fulfilled. Since day one, since the creations of the world, of this universe, God has a plan and God has a purpose for all of us. So let's just look at what is God's plan for man and what is the purpose, for man. And what is the plan for man in these so-called missions? Is it? I say the mission here is the plans and the purpose of God. The purpose is to glorify Him. The plan is how this thing works so that the end result will be glorify Him. So let's look at the first. The purpose of God for man is to make Him known. The purpose of God for man is not that we can enjoy ourselves, we can enjoy heaven, but is to make Him known so that the world may know God. Okay. Throughout the Old Testament history, the scripture show that God's purpose is to make Himself known to the world. God wants every man and even angels to know who He is and what He is like. God's purpose is clearly seen in the book of Ezekiel. The phrase or the sentence says, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord," or "and they shall know that I am the Lord," are repeated 58 times in the book of Ezekiel chapter 6 through 39. 58 times that ye shall know that I am the Lord, and they shall know that I am the Lord. You see, this is the whole purpose for man, that man will come to know God and make him known. Man will not only come to know God and enjoy God, but will come to know God, enjoy God, and glorify God to make him known. God wants all men everywhere to know God, to know him, to know who he is. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 23 to 24, God dried up the water of Jordan River to allow the children of Israel pass over into the land. Why? The Bible says, so that all the people of the earth might know that the hands of God and fear the Lord forever. Is it? Might know the hands of God. Might know God. Every miracle in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, is with the purpose of man come to know God. Or at least the Israel will come to trust God. Is it? Every miracle, every so-called special things that happen is for a purpose. To know God or to make God known. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46, in the contest between David and Goliath, the Bible says, God wants all the earth to know that there is a God in Israel. God spoke to David and said, you come to me with a sword and shield, all this kind of thing, but I come to you with the name of God. God, Goliath, God today, God give you to me so that all the earth know that there is a God in heaven, in Israel. That's it. God wants to make himself known to the people. Second King chapter 19, verse 19, recorded that God saved King Hezekiah and the nations of Judah out of the hands of the Assyrians. Why? So that all the kingdom of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. It's very clear throughout the Old Testament. God wants to make himself known to all the people so that people might know who he is. Who is God? Who is God to you this morning? God wants to make himself known to you, to know to all of us, but do you know who God is? Much has been said about who God is, all this. But this morning, there are four things that I would like every one of us need to know about who God is. First, he is the only creator. He is the only creator. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6 states, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heavens of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all the things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the hosts of heaven worship thee. Today, people need to know who their maker. They need to know, people know. Today, there are many people who say, and teach that there is no creator. Especially the evolutionists say that the plants, the humans were not created, but all are gradually evolved from something, from a cell, from a certain very tiny cell. Is it? During the millions of millions of years. This is what today the textbook will say. Especially in the Western country, they don't want to know that there is a creator. That's it. People today need to know that everything they see, they can see and they can touch, was created by the great creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Could anything be made without Jesus Christ? No. All things were made by him and for him. Who is God? God is the only creator. He created you and me. He created you and me. Is it? Not only he created you and me, he wants us to know him. That's why the purpose of He created you and me so that we will know Him. Secondly, we need to know that He is not only the Creator, but He is the only God. People everywhere need to know that there is only one God. In the Bible, we read about the Gentiles, the heathen people who worship and serve many gods. The gods which they worship are not really gods at all. Their gods are nothing but idols. In fact, if you look through Psalm chapter 115, verse 4, the scripture describes this God have eyes but cannot see, have ears but cannot hear, have mouth but cannot speak. They cannot help the needy and cannot answer the prayer of man. Basically, this idol's God can do nothing. There's only one God. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse chapter 6, verse 4 say that the Lord our God is one God. There's only one God. A person can search through the whole universe and beyond, but he will never find another God. There's only one God in this world. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 8, God himself said that there is no other God beside me. There's only one God. There's no other God beside me. If the living and all-knowing God has the knowledge no knowledge of any other God, then we can be absolutely sure that there are no other gods. You see, if the only true God, the all-powerful God say there's no other God, then we can be sure there's no other God. All these other gods is meaning the idols that do not really exist at all. There's only one God. Third, who God is. He is the only Savior. Not only He's a Creator, He's the only Creator, He's the only God, but He is the only Savior. The sinful and needy men today have only one place to look if they want to be saved. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 45. I jump ahead of myself. It's supposed to be the He is the only true God first. So there are many false gods, but there is only one true God. John 17, verse 3 says that, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. All other gods are phony, fake, pretense, and unreal. They are mainly idols. They are gods that has been made up in the minds of men. If you want to know more about this, you read Romans chapter 1. Why there are so many so-called idols around? It's because the rebellious, because of the sinfulness of men. They know that they are a created God. They know that they are one living and only God, but they did not submit themselves into the hands of God. Therefore, they come up with all this. The tree is a god. The stone is a god. Everything they see is a god, but it's not a god. It's just an idol. There's only one God, one true God, and one Creator. Then number four, we see here. He is the only Savior. The sinful and needy men have only one place to look if they want to be saved. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 26 says, look unto God and be saved. There's no other Savior and there's no other God. No one can save us apart from God. There's no hope. Those who want to come to Him have all the hope in the world because He is the only God. He alone can give us eternal life. He alone can give us hope. Especially in this so-called, in this period of COVID-19, the pandemic, a lot of people are very scared. A lot of people are fearless, do not know what is happening, very worried. But the Bible says, in God we trust. In God is where our hope is. We trust God. Is it? God wants people to know that He can save, and that He is the only one who can save. Not only that He can save, but He is the only one who can save. So this is the purpose of God for men, to know God, to know that He is the only creator, to know that He is the only God, to know that He is the only true God and the only Savior. And this is the reason we need to have missions conference, to bring the gospel out, so the unbelieving world will come to know this only God, only true God and only Savior. So secondly, we like to see is the plans of God for men. The plans of God for men is to send someone to spreading the gospel of God far and wide, so that all might come to know Him and make Him known. The plan, the missions, is to send someone to propagating, to spreading the gospel of God far and near. Not just far, out of Singapore, out of Singapura, okay? But it's near as well. We're in Singapura as well. So, why? So that all might come to know Him and make Him known. So that God's purpose for man will be fulfilled. You see? The word missions and missionary are not found in the Bible. You can search through the scripture. From front to back to front, you cannot find the word missions or missionary. The word missions come from a Latin word mito, which means I send. I send. Or God send. As we learned early, God's purpose is to make Himself known. And to do this, God sends certain men or certain person on a mission. So those whom God sends are often called missionaries, which means the sent one. Therefore, missionaries are people sent by God to be God's messenger, God's witnesses, and God's spokesman and woman. So this is the definition of missionary. Sent by God to be His messenger, witnesses, and spokesman. Never did the Bible say the definition must go out of your country, all this. Is it? Which means that you and I are sent by God. We are the missionary of God. Is it? Remember, he said here, spreading the gospel of God far and near. For those go overseas and preach the gospel, so-called the term missionary, leave the country, leave Singapore and go overseas to preach the gospel. Far. But we are the missionary that are here, that stay put, that continue to spread the gospel to the people around us. Well, in John here we see that in John chapter 17, verse 18, Jesus said, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so send I. Even so have I also sent them into the world." Here we can see very clearly the picture. Sent by God, Jesus Christ sent by God, the Father, to the world. Then, we believers sent by Jesus Christ to the world. That's why he said, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." So send I you. That's why he said, if a term missionary is a term missions, it's just to go away of Singapore and preach the gospel and so save, that's a very very swallows definitions. Is it? Because the term missionary, the sent one, include you and me. Not only those who are leave Singapore and go overseas to preach the gospel. That includes you and me. We are the missionaries of God to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it? Jesus was sent into the world on a mission. God gave His only Son an assignment, and Christ, Jesus, carried out this assignment perfectly. And then in the same way, Jesus Christ has sent us into the world on a mission. So let us briefly look into what assignment, the mission and the assignment which the Lord has given to us. First, you see here that God sent us into the world. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So God sent you and I into the world. Secondly, God sent us with the gospel. He entrusted us with the so-called the gospel, the ministry of reconciliations, the gospel which bring men back to God so that they will know God and make Him known. That we have this gospel. God sent us into the world. God gave us this gospel so that we will, with the gospel, go into the world. Then God wants this gospel message to go to every creature, every person. This is our mandate. This is our missions and this is our assignment. To preach the gospel to everyone. To preach the gospel to everyone. So as we have seen, our missions involve sending. Jesus Christ has sent us into the world to spread His gospel to every person. So our assignment of spreading the gospel involves three things. Very important three things, three elements. First, it involves shining. Is it? Whether you are the so-called missionaries that go overseas or you are the missionary here, to witness for people, God's missionary in Singapore, in this church, to witness for people, you need these three things. First is shining. Shining. The world needs to see believer shining. The world needs to see you and I shining. God has sent us into the world, but what is this world like? Is it a world that is very nice, everyone is very kind and loving, where there is never have any problem? No. It is a world that everyone loves God and worship Him? Absolutely not. The world that Christ has sent us into is a very dark and sinful world. In the midst of darkness, God wants light to be shining brightly. That's the reason God sent you and me. God sent missionary to overseas to preach the gospel. God sent you and me to be in Singapore so that we can shine for Him. The unbeliever, the world need to see you and me shine. Philippians chapter 2 verse 15 say here, is it, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nations, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. He said, ye shine as lights in the world. Are you shining for God? This morning, are you shining for God? In your respective place? In your school? In your office? At your home? Are you shining for God? Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said to His follower, Jesus said to all of us, He said, let your light so shine before men. Believers are to be as little light in this world that point men to the greatest light of Jesus Christ. Is it? We need to shine so that people can, through us, can see Jesus Christ. Is it? Through us, they come to know God. And this is the purpose of God. People come to know Him and make Him known. Is it? So through us, as we shine for the Lord Jesus Christ, God's purpose fulfilled. Shine for the Lord Jesus Christ in wherever you are. Then people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So the world need to see us shine. Then next, the world need to see us showing. The world need to see us showing. You say, show what? Show how much we have. Show how powerful we are. No. You want to say how rich we are? There are many people richer than us. So there's nothing to show. Want to show a big car? Yeah, you're a bigger car than us. Some of the people drive tank like that, bigger than us, you see. So nothing to show. You show a big house, some of them even stay in a bungalow, it's almost like a 3-4 story high, that kind of thing. Nothing to show. So what's the world want to see us showing? Not to show off, that I'm very handsome, I'm very pretty. But the world want to see us to show for what? The eternal life. You see, we have something that the unbeliever do not have. That is eternal life. You see, the Bible says in First John chapter 5, verse 12, he that has the Son hath life. You and I today, if we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. And we need to show this eternal life to the unbeliever, to the people, to show forth to them. so that they can see Jesus. We have this wonderful gift of eternal light, and we need to show forth this light to those around us who are still in darkness and death. Just like a drunk people show certain things by the way he walks, acts, or talks. So a believer like you and me ought to show the world certain things by the way we talk, the way we walk, and the way we act. We need to show. We need to show to people our lifestyle that we are believer. That's it. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 state, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Those who know the Lord ought to live and act differently than those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers need to be showing this differently. So in what ways can you and should you be different? In what way can you show forth that God is in you? Think about it. You are the missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Singapore, in your family, in your workplace. In what way you can show forth that God, the only God, the eternal God, the creator God, is in you? Think about it. Not only the world needs to see us shine, the world needs to see us showing something, and then the world needs to see us saying, talk, say something. Believer, all of us need to show, not only need to show, but we also need to tell the story, proclaim the gospel. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, we learn that a group of believers who cannot keep silence. In fact, they are saying here that we cannot but say the things which we have seen and heard. They has a message of the gospel which they just had to proclaim. They cannot keep quiet. They cannot sit still. They just have to proclaim the gospel. Can you see they are so-called the enthusiasm that they have? Is it the joy that they have, the passions that they have? You see, I cannot keep quiet. I must share, I must tell, I must proclaim about the Lord Jesus Christ, about what God, the great things the Lord have done in my life, and how the Lord lead me, how the Lord guide me. This is the thing that we need to share to the people. This is the thing we need to share to people. You see, think with me. Suppose a group of doctors were to discover a cure for this COVID-19. Should they speak up and tell the whole world about this, or should they be silent and keep it a big secret? Think about it. Every day, we hear from the news, we read the newspaper, wow, cure is coming up, all this. Right? So it's a group of scientists, it's a group of doctors, they come out with it. Should they just keep it quiet, or should they broadcast it so that the rest of the world, like you and me, probably may need to use a cure? They should proclaim, they should broadcast it. They should not keep it to themselves. You see? So therefore, it's the same thing. You and I have a message that can save people from eternal death. This is the good news. This is a gospel to be shared aboard fire and wine. Why shall we keep quiet? Why shall we just sit down and be quiet? Where is the enthusiastic that we have? Like the group of people who said, we cannot but to speak, but to say which we have seen and heard. Many of us have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ for many years. If I can use the word many donkey years, that means very, very, very long ago. Remember, try to recall the first few days, the first few months when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And the enthusiasm that you have during that time and right now. I can testify, I'm sure you can testify. We can't really keep quiet. We are so eager to want to know more. We are so eager to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to know more. We study the Word of God. We pray, all this kind of thing. We talk to other believers about what did the Bible say, all this kind of thing. But after so many years, where is the fire? Where is your enthusiasm? We can't but say the things. Are ye saying the things? He says, suppose you are walking down a street at night. You suddenly notice that one of the house is on fire. The people in the house are sleeping and not even aware of the danger. Should you say something? Should you tell anyone? Should you just or you just walk away? Or should you call 995? What a tragedy if you do not warn these people of the danger they are in. As believers, we do have a responsibility of warning unbelievers of the dangers they are in. The Bible says if we keep silent, in Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 18, if we keep quiet, if we keep silent, and do not warn the unbeliever about the dangers, about the eternal health, the eternal life, the Bible says the unsaved person shall surely die in their own sin. But God will require his blood at our hands. This is the one of the very reasons that we need to proclaim the gospel. This is the very reason we need to share the good news, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to our loved one. Why? Others, why in the future their blood is in our hand. Your neighbor's blood is in your hand. Your colleague's blood may be in your hand. If you keep quiet, if you keep silent, without proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, without proclaiming the gospel, you can say, well, God will send somebody or this. Yes, God will send a missionary, but you are the missionary. You are the sent one. That's it. So don't point a finger at other people. God will send that one. You are the one, the missionary. You are God's messenger. You are God's proclaimer. You are God's witnesses. Are you doing your work? Are we doing our work? Evangelist is another similar word that is very closely related to missionary. An evangelist is a person who proclaims the gospel and preach the good news. He brings the gospel message to those who need to hear it. Have you ever evangelized or preached the gospel to anyone? Have you? Remember, if you are the believer and then you know something that is better than the cure for COVID-19, you know the cure for sin, the greatest disease of all. You have the cure for sin. Not only the any common flu or not even the cure for COVID-19. We have the precious blood of Jesus Christ in us. We need to share. Will you? Will you share? One thing I learned in my study is the most important thing in evangelism is that we are to evangelize ourselves. What do you mean? He said, I'm saved. Why should I evangelize myself? He said, we need to let God's good news to excite and thrill our own heart. He said, not that evangelize means that we are saved, we don't need to be saved. But evangelize means that let the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, let the so-called the power of God's redemptions to excite us, knowing that we have this power in our hand, knowing that we have this dynamite, this bombshell in our hand that can save people, to excite us. You see, the more I appreciate the person, the more you and I appreciate the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, the more effectively we will be able to share this gospel with others. We cannot give what we don't have. We cannot tell what we do not know. So we need to sort of saying that we need to evangelize ourselves. We need to allow this gospel, the gospel, to excite us. To make us on fire again for the Lord. Like I say in the just now, many of us, our fire may be die off, quenched down. We need God to excite us again. We need revival. The first thing to do is let God to work to excite us. Evangelize us. Save us in the sense from spiritual death. Not losing our salvation, but became unfruitful, unuseful for God. Like we are dead, we are good for nothing, that kind of thing. We need God to revive us. We need God to to resurrect us so that we will be on fire for God again, so that we will do the works of the missions. So in conclusions, three groups are involved in the programs of mission. Okay. First is the Trinity God is involved. The Trinity God, the three-in-one God is involved. God the Father is the one who sent, who desired to make himself known throughout the earth. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is the one who saved us from the lake of fire. And God the Spirit is the one who sent us. Mission is God's program, and God is at the very center of it. Mission is not that so that man will save and go heaven. Mission is so that man will save and come to know God and make him known. That's why the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, go ye into all the world and preach. Go ye, I mix up the Bible verse. Go ye therefore and preach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe whatsoever thing I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the world. He said, not just go, but go with making disciples. Go and tell them so that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Go that so that they will receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But is it that's all? Be saved and go heaven, that's all? No. He said, make disciples, baptizing them, gather them as a church, teaching them, educate them, disciple them. Whatsoever thing I have commanded you, whatsoever thing the Lord wants us to know, we teach them. So the Great Commission is not, it's just not winning soul, but winning soul so that we can disciple soul, so that the people will come to know God and make him known, to glorify God. The ultimate is to glorify God. So the first group is the Trinity God is involved. The second group is the angels are involved. Both faithful and fallen angels are very much interested in this, in what is taking place on earth. Luke chapter 15 verse 10 tells us that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. The so-called the faithful angels, the angels that still continue to follow God, they rejoice over God's programs of missions. One soul come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole heaven, not only God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit rejoice. The Bible says the whole heaven, all the multitude of angels will be rejoicing with us. But at the same time, the fallen angels are also very much interested too. You see, the devil, the fallen angels, they are actively opposed God's program of missions. The devil does not want God to make himself known. Satan wants to keep people in dark as much as possible. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, tells us that the God of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil is working very hard to blind the eyes of the people so that they cannot see Jesus Christ. That's the reason God needs to send you and me. We are the light to our neighbor. Every day they see us. Every day we do, we not only shining, we are showing for the love of Christ. We are showing for the greatness, the mercy of Christ, the kindness of God. People will be touched. People will come slowly and surely. People will want to know what is happening. What happened to you? How come you are different? How come in the midst of all this pandemic, you don't feel worried? I can see the peace in you. Why? And this is the best place for us to say something, to tell, to show. So it depends on how we look at this period of time. It can be very challenging, very, very scary, but it can also be a time of evangelism, a time for us to grab hold of this opportunity to share the gospel to the people. A time for us to come so-called, I cannot use the word close because of the distance, social distancing, but come together with a certain distance to encourage one another. It's a time. There are times that we have been so far away from each other. We are so busy with the world. We are so busy with our study. We are so busy with our works in the office, all this kind of thing. And praise and thank God in a sense that now all of us have to slow down. We have to slow down. So it's the best time for us to really come back together to encourage one another. So depending on how we see it, with the hands of God, with the wisdom of God, with the mind of God, we can see from the other angle. Because why? We know God is our hope. We know God can save, and only He can save us. He can deliver us. And the third group that involved in the last group involved in the missions program is the believer in Christ. The believer in Christ, as God sent you and I, we have seen the important part that the believer, you and I, are to have in God's program. As God sent one, we are to be shining, showing, and saying. It is our duty, privilege, and opportunity to have a part in God's wonderful programs of missions. So don't just sit down and relax and then and just wait for the month of March over and then that's it. This is the opportunity for you to be involved in missions, to pray for missionary, to give to the missions so that the gospel will be carried forward. And it is our joy to know Christ, and it is our greater joy to make Christ known. It's good. All of us, we're happy when we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus can go heaven. But it is our greatest joy to make Him known, to glorify God in your life. Because this will fulfill the purpose of God. The purpose that God has you on this earth. The purpose of God has you in SBBC is to fulfill the Great Commission. Is to fulfill so that you will glorify God with your life. Someone has said every person is either a missionary or a mission field. This means that every believer like you and I ought to be the missionary. And every unbeliever is a mission field. So we do not need to go far out of Singapore and go the rest of the world. We can be a missionary here. And in fact, God has made us a missionary here in Singapore. The fact that we are still around here, God did not move us away to another country. We are still around here. Is God wants us to be the missionary here to bring the gospel to our loved one, to educate, to disciple them so that they will grow, so that the church will grow, so that we will together to glory, to give God the all the glory that is due to Him. So are you involved in God's programs of missions today? We live in a world where there is a great ignorance concerning who God is and what God has done. The people are in great darkness and they need to see light of the knowledge of God. Millions are searching and crying. The Bible is very... The Bible verse, this Bible verse, John chapter 4, verse 35, is very reverent to us even today. It said, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. There are millions and millions of people. We in Singapore crying out, say, I need help. I need to know the true and only God. I'm lost. My life is no directions, no hope, no purpose. I need someone to share the gospel with me. I need someone to guide me, to point to the true light to me. Will you be the someone? Can God use you? He has sent you, but can God use you now? Are you willing to use by God to reach out to people so that people will know Him and make Him known? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for this time. Thank you that I have the opportunity to relook of this so-called the missions, God's program of missions in a different way. Father, this morning we understand that missions, not just so safe, but missions is so that God will be glorified. Which means that not we are not only to pass the track, lead people to have a sinner praise and that's it. Which means that we need to do more. We need to follow up. We need to disciple the new convert. We need to guide the new convert with your word, your directions, so that they will, in turn, they will grow in you. In turn, they will go out and share the gospel with other people to glorify you in what they do. Thank you for allowing us to see the true meanings of missions. But right now, I pray that, Lord, you will speak into us. Your spirit will speak to us. Help us to realize we are sent by you. Even we are in Singapore, we are sent by you.